Amen. I want an opportunity for everybody to say, I'm back there with the children's church on Sunday, and so Monday I listened to the cantata and preacher, his message for Easter, and man, Brother David, that was excellent, man. It was that was a top-notch cantata. I've heard many, damn the Lord, let me from years of the church and stuff. I've, you know, been involved in not the singing in them. I was always put not to be there, but reading some of the, you know, props and doing different things. And man, I know Brother, your husband Brad, he did so good. I mean, it's so important, isn't it, David? That illustration that goes through, he did top-notch. And Landon did so good, the whole choir. And I just enjoyed it so much, listening to it Monday night. And just thank y'all from my heart. And preacher taught them great always. But the fellas on the road to Emmaus. What I want to do tonight, it's right here at Easter, and it's going to be kind of an Easter message. But I got to think about it. Every Sunday at a Bible-believing church, a church that preaches salvation, every Sunday is an Easter Sunday, isn't it? I mean, every Sunday is an Easter message. It's about the gospel. And so it's just like you never can be away from it, or you shouldn't be ever away from it, huh? But what I want to do tonight, I got this book years ago. This is the Sword of the Lord scrapbook thing that I bought and got and read some stuff. And there's all kind of jewels and stuff in here. And I found out, I read something that in reading it, it helped me see something that I'd been kind of skipping over, that I've been reading over, that was in the Bible, an account in John about Easter, and something that I didn't understand the significance of it until I had read a little bit about this situation. So what I want to do now, I want to bring you a lesson real quickly here that I've entitled "The Not So Empty Tomb," the Not So Empty Tomb. So to get there, I want to quickly read the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all rehearse for us the Easter account. It's kind of neat for me. I think about it in six verses. It's in Matthew 28, verse 1 through 6, Mark chapter 16, 1 through 6, and in Luke 24, 1 through 6. So we're just going to read them quickly and just let them get us to what I really want to look at tonight. So Mark chapter 28, sorry, Matthew. We'll start in Matthew, of course. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. It says, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And then in Mark chapter 16, Mark 16, 1 through 6, Mark gives his account now, and just subtle little differences, but everything remains true to the same in there, though. But it says, And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here, behold the place where they laid him. And then in Luke 24, the account that Dr. Luke gives us here, it says, in verse 1, it says, And now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye to live in among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." So you see, in these three Gospels, we get just the Gospel message, don't we? Every one of us in this room, at one time in our life, we were lost. That was the message we had to have. You know, I hope everybody's sitting, and everybody in here, I hope you have came to the saving knowledge of Jesus. You accepted him in your heart. Well, those three Gospels give us, all of us, the hope we need. His death, his burial in that tomb, and his resurrection. And it speaks sort of like an empty tomb. Come look where he was. Look where he laid. The angel of the message. He's risen. But I want to show you something else. I'm going to tell you something I read here. That got us saved. But now when we get to John, I hope to show you something. I believe that John's account is not for the lost, those that not yet have been saved. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I believe John is for the believers. The believers that have already trusted him, like we said here today. Jesus knew the kind of world we'd be living in right now, y'all. Mm-hmm. He knew the type of situation in this world. He knew where we would be sitting here tonight. So I want to show you something that he did in the book of John that gives me great hope. And I mean, my salvation is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I know that. And I rest assured in he's risen, and that's my hope for heaven, is that. But I want to show you something that I really look forward to when we get to John. But right before we get there, let me tell you something that you need to understand that I missed for a long time. I read this account. We need to understand a custom that was done back in Jesus' day when he was on the earth, when he was doing his earthly ministry. There was a custom that was used in that day that Jesus was very familiar with and everybody back then was. And what it was, when I read about it here, was that when they had the celebrations back then, they had feasts that they observed and celebrations and even birthdays, those events that they did didn't take just a couple hours, like we have a little birthday party or something we do. The events they did lasted for days. They lasted, some of them went into weeks, but they were long, big events. And so when all the guests would come, they had to come up with a way to figure out how to be servicing everybody and know who was staying and who was going. So here's what they did. The custom I read about was that the custom was that everybody came to the big celebration, gathered around, and when they were ready to leave, if they were not going to be staying anymore, if they were going to be leaving and they were done, they weren't going to be able to stay any more nights, days, or anymore, they'd take their napkin that they would have at the celebration, they'd take the napkin, and if they wadded it up and threw it in the middle of the stuff and just wadded it up there, and then they left, whoever was serving them, whether it was servant people or the guest of the house, whoever was serving them, if they saw a wadded up napkin, they knew what it meant. It meant that they were gone, that they were not coming back, that they had left the celebration, the event. They were gone, okay? So they could clean away all the stuff, maybe get ready for somebody else. But you have this long celebration going on. You got to go to the bathroom sometime, don't you? Or if you need to go to the bathroom, or if you want to step outside and walk around, get a breath of fresh air. But let's say you're not going to be leaving. You're going to be staying for the event. You've got to leave for a little while. You got to be gone for a little bit to go outside or whatever. But you're coming back. You're going to be coming back, and you're going to be part of the celebration still going on, okay? So here's what they'd do. The same napkin, you know, that was used to wad up and say, "I'm gone." The thing they read about, the custom they had was, if you folded your napkin up, neat and nice, and if you laid it to the side, if you put it away from all the stuff here, and if you laid this napkin off to the side, all folded up, neat and nice, then when the servers came to prepare, if they found a folded up napkin all neat and nice to the side, they knew what it meant. It meant that you were coming back. You haven't left. So they'd refresh your drink maybe and prepare you. They'd be preparing for you to come back. Now that's what I read about it. That's the custom that was going on, that was happening in that time, okay? Now knowing that, go with me to John. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1 through 8. Now we've already heard Matthew, Mark, and Luke. already know about the great message of the angels and he's risen, all of our hope there. But look what we see here in John chapter 1. It says here, the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark into the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple which Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and that's John, came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeing the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, and he believed. You see, I believe Jesus was leaving a little message that morning. Amongst everything else he had going on, conquering Satan and death, and, you know, conquering death and raising up, amongst everything else he had going on, he cared about his disciples and those he loved, didn't he? And we see here it says there that Peter and John saw this napkin that was on our Savior's forehead, folded up, laying off away from everything else to the side. And then it says John, when he came in, he saw this. He didn't see a body, of course, it's risen. But he saw a napkin laying off to the side. And he knew what it meant. When it said he believed, he knew what he meant. Jesus said, I'm going away for a little bit, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back. You know, that's my hope now. I'm glad Jesus isn't going to send an archangel, somebody else. I'm glad he's coming back. This world is getting more and more of a bigger mess. But Jesus can take care of it. I know that. And so my hope in salvation rests upon he's risen. My hope in waking up tomorrow morning on this earth rests in he's coming back. My hope in heaven rests in that I've already accepted him. I know I'm going to be there, but tomorrow morning I'm still on this earth. I wake up and I'm still facing my things. I face them down here and I see the news and I see everything and everything's going on. My hope rests in that napkin. He's coming back. You know, he's coming, it could be any moment. And that having that assurance, having him cure enough to leave that little, like I say, I missed it for years reading. I never read and heard about that custom or known about that. But just, man, as I read it there now, as I see the other accounts and I see this account, that's got to be it to me. Jesus is just saying, hey, I'm coming back, John. I'm coming back, Peter. I'm going to be taking care of everything. That's my hope for every morning until we're there, huh? Amen. He's coming back, yeah. Preacher.
Thank you, Stacy. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's a good preacher. Always available when I need him. And sometimes, like today, I knew I had some stuff going on where I wasn't going to be able to put in adequate time to prepare, and old Stace said, yeah, I'll take care of it, and he does a good job. Appreciate it very much. Guys, we're going to have a special day, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, the 18th. We're going to be having Brother Strunk is going to be with us. As you know, we had to cancel our fall revival meeting. He normally would have been with us, and he's traveling in here, and he's going to be with us on that Sunday morning and Sunday night. And also the Wills family are going to be with us that morning. And we haven't had the Wills in some time. So the music's going to be fantastic. They'll do a little mini concert during the Sunday school hour. So all teachers that want to be in here, you can plan on just not teaching that day. And then Brother Strunk will be preaching to us. It's going to be kind of a missions emphasis Sunday. And then Brother Strunk will also be back that night. Let's make a big day of it, guys. We just had a huge crowd on Easter. There's no reason we can't continue to have crowds like that. If we go to work and invite our friends and just go tell them how fantastic the music and the preaching is going to be, and they will probably come, okay? So get that on your heart and your mind. Be praying about it, and we'll look forward to it, okay? Otherwise, we'll see you this coming Sunday. And why don't we go ahead and stand and let me just dismiss this in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the time you've given us together. We appreciate so much, Lord God, your word. And we're grateful, God, to hear a breath of fresh air, hear from Brother Stacy tonight in the midweek service, Lord. It's always nice to hear a different voice and somebody bring the word of God. And I just am glad, Lord, that we got to enjoy this message. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to be well prepared to come into the house of God this Sunday. We appreciate the Lord's day. It's your day. We want to honor you by being here. We want to honor you by worshiping and praying and fellowshipping and serving together that day. And Lord, help us to be conscientious of those around us that might need a church home or that might need a Savior. Lord, help us to be inviting people and witnessing to people. And Father, we'll go ahead and ask ahead of time for the following Sunday for you to already be laying on the heart of Brother David Strunk, what he will preach. And Father, that you'll just make it a fantastic day to your honor and glory. Lord, we need rain. It's awful dry, and it's drying out quicker and quicker. We know, Lord God, that you're going to provide for us. We pray, Lord, for an abundance of moisture over the next couple of months, Lord, beyond what we normally have. We need it so desperately. We ask your blessings on these requests, and Lord, we make them humbly, knowing that it's your will that needs to be done. But Father, we pray that your will be carried out, and we will learn to pray accordingly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.